you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you. Reading from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And another one. Now, Jason, I know I'm taking this a little bit out of context, but I feel like God's pouring so much into me and in the radio ministry, or I don't know if he's pouring so much in. I'm just so excited about so many different things that I was thinking, I just want to talk about God pouring in or pouring out. And the other one I think of is Psalm 23:5. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I'm kind of at a point where I'm overflowing with some enthusiasm, or I'm just very encouraged, and there's some things I can't even share yet, and so I'm like bottled up with this energy that maybe in a week I can share some phenomenal God sightings. But I'm rambling a little, but I'm so energized. On Thursday, yesterday, I met with my small group of guys, and we were talking about the prayer initiative that's going on that you're a part of, that book, Prayer Revolution. I've almost finished it, and you know how slow of a reader I am. It takes me forever to get through a book, but I've been spending hours just reading it and thinking about it. It's formulating or changing my prayer life, which I think I have a pretty good prayer life, but this focusing on the Lord's Prayer and the way Jesus taught or modeled, or I think you had one time used like his manifesto, his ways of showing us how to approach the Father and why. And we talked a little about that last Friday, but yesterday we were all talking about prayer and the prayer revolution. So let me highlight a few things that are going on, and then we'll see where the Lord leads, because we finished our year and a half study through the book of James, and we're still praying up where to go in the coming days. But I'm just kind of like this bottle. It's like if you shake a can of pop or something, I'm ready to explode. But, let me just cover a couple things. Tomorrow, Saturday, we're having an open house in Springfield at 600 West Mason Street from 1 to 4 p.m. I was there on Wednesday, and we have these hundreds of gift bags that are going to be loaded with really fun, neat things for everyone. It'll include two study guides, Texas Roadhouse, an appetizer coupon, a free appetizer, some other fun things, a special treat, one per family, that you'll just have to come and see and pick up. But they're all in these colorful bags on these tables. It's really fun. I'll have that posted. But that's tomorrow, 1 to 4. 600 West Mason Street. And when I was trying to give people directions this past Wednesday with Mary Ann, it's really easy. Just get on I-72, head west. I-72 becomes Jefferson Street. So think of former President Jefferson. And then you just keep taking that past 10th Street, 9th Street, 6th Street, 1st Street, 2nd Street. You get to Walnut. You go by a lot of stores. You're kind of in downtown Springfield. There's a Hardee's, there's an El Pollo Mexican restaurant, a Little Fritz Diner. So at Walnut, you just turn right, you go underneath, I guess like an overpass. You just go one block, and there's our studios right there. You'll see WLUJ, and we're at 600 West Mason Street. Real easy to get to, but from 1 to 4, we'll have lots of parking. We have a parking lot across the street that's going to be open. One that's a building away to our east, and then we have like 20 parking spots in our facility there. It's a two-story brick building. It has a big Lifting Up Jesus, WLUJ sign on the one side of the building. But I'm hoping a number of Great News Radio listeners will come out, and then certainly all of our WLUJ family of stations listeners will come out between 1 and 4. We're going to have the world-famous Butch's Italian Beef. He's doing up a humongous crock pot of that, and we'll have chips and snacks and water and festivities, and we'll have three different recording studios, so if you want to do a little radio announcement, and there'll be board members there and staff, and so I hope many of you will come out tomorrow between 1 and 4, 600 West Mason Street in Springfield. Turn it into a road trip. Springfield is a colorful, delightful place that needs prayer. So come on out, pray your way through the town, the influence that the legislators make there. We're only like 5.5, 6 blocks from the state capitol, so it's a great location. And so I'm excited. The whole staff can't wait to meet you. So that's happening tomorrow. And then, as Jason, you and I have been talking a lot about prayer and the prayer revolution, there's two prayer gatherings coming up next week. Wednesday, September 15th, there'll be a gathering at the Muhammad Christian Church at 7 p.m., followed by that following Monday, September 20th at 7 p.m. at the Muhammad United Methodist Church. And it'll be a time of prayer and worship. Those that are reading the book, Prayer Revolution, you'll feel a part of things and maybe enter into a small group and some other activities that'll be going on. But the book is changing my prayer life and my life because I just have so bought into the concept of approaching this holy, awesome, wonderful God that can be also seen as our Father, our Daddy. So it can be very personal, and yet He's all-powerful, almighty, worthy of our worship and our praise. And then the method, the means, the outline that Jesus gave to pray through the Lord's Prayer. Maybe we'll touch on that a little bit, but those activities will be coming up. So on September 18th, if you received our mailing a couple weeks ago, we talked about having an open house at Lincoln Square. You know, we've been in that facility for 5 years now. Well, that's being canceled. And hopefully in a week, maybe next Friday, I'll be able to share why and the exciting God sightings we're in the midst of. But that will be canceled, so don't plan to come out to Lincoln Square Mall a week from tomorrow on the 18th. Because we hope to be able to announce soon a super, super, super God sighting that all things are pointing towards moving forward on this, but I can't officially announce it till everything's in writing and signed, sealed, and delivered. But we're very excited about being able to announce something in a week to 2 weeks. And you know, Jason, I bite at the bits when I feel like God is clarifying or moving us forward in a new direction, and it's supernaturally done, and how everything fell together. At this point, I can't really say much more, but we really feel God's on the move, and we're excited about possibilities, and I hope to share that soon. But there will not be an open house on the 18th. I can say that most likely we're going to be moving, and we have a new opportunity to base our ministry out of the greater Champaign-Urbana area to a new location. I can say that, but it's not a done deal yet. But hopefully that'll be announced very soon, and we're very excited. It seems like God has put all the pieces together. It'll be a great upgrade for a lot of reasons. And when I'm able to announce it, I think everyone will say, wow, God pulled this off. This is great. So hopefully in a week to 10 days or so, I was told the other day, within 2 weeks, it looks like it'll all go through. So, woohoo! Okay, that's, okay. So God's kind of, that pouring over concept, I just felt like my cup overflows and God is working as He always does. He works in small ways and grand ways, and I'm extremely thankful to be a part of what He's doing, and may it all be to His glory, to benefit His kingdom work, to encourage the listener, to reach the lost. Boy, I'm really excited about future possibilities. You and I have been praying up and talking about and brainstorming, vision casting, and kudos to your wife, Tasha, too, the First Lady, because I think she sees the vision and the potential, and I think when I'm able to share more, there'll be a total buy-in that everyone's like, wow, God is doing this, and we want to be a part of it. So, okay, that's about all I can say right now.
Yeah, or you'll say it all.
Yeah, I know. It's really hard.
So close.
It's so hard for me to hold back.
Yeah, this is why you couldn't get that government job with the security clearance.
Yeah, that's right.
So you use this verse, and you mentioned using this verse out of context. And context is king. And so we're going to bring a little context to this verse, but I don't think you're actually too far off. And so in Luke chapter 6, it says, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom or your cup. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." This is one of my favorite topics to talk about these days. Jesus is talking about kingdom living. He's talking about the pattern of what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And this is something for us as Christians. I don't want people out there who are uber political or that to hear me the wrong way. But we as Christians, we don't live to a nation. We live to a kingdom. And we are like the Bible calls us ambassadors. And what do ambassadors do? Ambassadors enjoy the benefits. They enjoy the things that come from living in a foreign land, from living in that land. But the ambassadors always live with an allegiance and to the law of the kingdom from which they were sent. And so we live as those who live in a foreign land and enjoy its benefits, enjoy its freedoms, enjoy all of those things. But we live to a different law because we belong to a kingdom that never ends, whose king is Jesus. And so Jesus is giving us a pattern of kingdom living. He begins by saying, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." He's saying, listen, the people who live in the kingdom, they come and offer these kingdom gifts, this kingdom way, on par with the way God does. So they say, listen, we don't just offer mercy. We offer mercy to the degree that God offers mercy. We come and we offer grace to the degree that God offers grace. We come and offer love to the degree and measure that God offers love, which is fascinating, right? Because when you ask somebody to define love for you in their definition or way, they don't tell you, well, love would be if I gave my one and only son for sacrifice to the worst, most heinous people. Nobody defines love like that. They define love in a romantic sense. They might even define it in kind of a deep and abiding human sense. But very few people define love when you ask them in a sacrificial sense, and a sacrificial sense that costs them everything to accomplish. And yet that's what God does. And so we come and we offer the gifts and the way of the kingdom on par with what God does. And then it says, "Judge not and you shall not be judged." This is a command of Jesus warning against passing judgment upon others because we'll be judged too. That we don't have to judge an arbiter of what people do, that God will judge people. You know, we have that in the Psalms. I believe it's somewhere around Psalm 79 where it says that the psalmist, he sees the way the people in the world are living, and it makes him crazy. He says, "My feet almost slipped." And then he says, "And I didn't understand what to do until I went to the temple of the Lord. Until I went back and realized that God is Lord God, Savior, and King, and He will judge the nation." It's not my job to. I have a bigger job than to simply walk around and pass judgment. And so Jesus says, "Judge not, and you shall be judged." By the way, we're also those people who live as though we've already been judged. And then he goes on and he says, "Condemn not, but to forgive." And this goes upon even beyond judging, because what comes when we judge people? We tend to condemn them. And let's just be honest. We all probably need to be very honest. We all make all kinds of judgments every single day. And in a lot of those judgments, the first thing that comes out of our mouth is condemning words. And so Jesus tells us not to do that. He actually tells us to not judge, to not condemn, and then to freely forgive. And then we get to the verse that you said that you took out of context. Because now what has Jesus already set us up to do? I mean, it's really kind of magnificent if you think about it. Jesus has offered us a pathway in the kingdom to be merciful in the kind of mercy that God is merciful in. To judge not, but to live as those who have been judged, and to trust that the King of all things will judge rightly and righteously. And then to not condemn and to forgive. I mean, by the time we get to this point, we're like, wait, you got to be kidding me, Jesus. Because if I do these things, man, I'm going to be taken advantage of. I am going to be a doormat. I'm going to be somebody who everybody walks all over. And that's why we have the next verse. Given, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Jesus encourages the freedom to give without fearing that we'll become a loser in our giving. He wants us to understand that we don't live to the expectations and to the criticism or whatever of others. We live to our Father in heaven, to the King. And therefore, in our giving, in our sacrificial giving, we are never losers because our audience is not the world. Our audience is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not losers in our giving. He wanted us to set us free from the fear of giving too much. He wanted to set us free from the fear of thinking, well, I'm going to be taken advantage of. Oh, you mean like being spit on and reviled, hung from a cross? Yeah, it might look like to the world and it might feel like to you that you're being taken advantage of, but you've taken the kingdom path. You're living the kingdom way. And so Jesus wanted us to know, he wanted us to set us free from the fear that we'll become a loser in our giving and to set us free from the fear that we'll give too much. Because there's no way that we can give too much. When we come in the name of the Lord, when we come bearing the name of this kingdom that never ends, we are giving out of the storehouses of the King. And this is an eternal storehouse that stretches farther than you can see and holds more than you can know. That is where we're giving out of. That is where we go to. And when you read this and you go, man, it's hard to be merciful like he's talking to be merciful. It's hard to not judge. It's hard to not condemn. It's hard to forgive like he's talking about doing. It's hard to do all this and not fear I'll be taken advantage of. You know, it is hard if you do it apart from the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could always be reminded, led back, and impressed by the truth of who he is, what he came to do, and what he has accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you let the Spirit, if you allow the Spirit to guide you back to the cross in every instance, you will have confidence that the world doesn't understand. Confidence that the cross, that was not the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
That in every single situation, Sunday is coming. There is resurrection. There is something that the world can't define, a possibility that it doesn't understand because it only operates on its limited capacities, and we operate on the limitless capacity of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we trust, we don't trust in a human way. We trust in a way that transcends what it means to be human, because we trust in a God who says, I have a cattle on 1,000 hills, and you can't fathom the way my mind works, but you can trust the works of my hands. And in that, we're able to do and accomplish more than we can ever comprehend.
Yeah, I keep looking at the verse, the running over, and I think of the oil on Aaron's, where it runs over his beard, or that example in the Old Testament, you know, where God says, challenge me on this, you know, where you can't outgive God, that there'll be enough and it'll run over. The time where David or Solomon, they brought in too much stuff, turn them away, they're bringing in too much, where all of us, to varying degrees, if we think about it, our cups do overflow. I mean, God's given us the breath of this day to exist. He's provided the running water or the environment that we're living in a house or an apartment. He's given us jobs or sources of income. If we measure ourselves to most anyone else in the world, we're very rich and wealthy and have much more than we would ever need, especially in comparison to so many. And then just the fact that we have the knowledge of him, many of us that follow Jesus, that have asked him into our hearts, that allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction and hope and insight. I mean, the fact that we even are cognizant that there's this holy, awesome, loving God. I mean, what a gift that runs over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when we bring that to the world, that changes everything. And so we shouldn't live below our inheritance. We shouldn't live and think, man, you know, isn't it an amazing thing that I am a citizen of such and such nation? Instead, we come and we say with this utter confidence and boldness, I am, as Paul says, a citizen of heaven. My citizenship is in heaven, and my hope resides there. And by the way, friends, that hope will be returning, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen. You know, I was thinking about that too recently, that so many of us don't live in the moment thinking that Jesus is going to return. I mean, we all know it, followers of Jesus, he's going to be coming. But I don't think we think about it often, like it could be today or soon, and live like he's going to be returning. Wow, our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who was here, who was Emmanuel, who visited the earth, who's been in existence for all eternity, he's going to bodily return, or however manifests himself in such a way that he returns and we know it's him, but he is coming, and we should live not only anticipatory, but living our convictions out, like as followers of him, we want to proclaim his good news message to all. We want people to know Jesus. We want them to spend an eternity with God. And Jesus is coming, so we should be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited to welcome him, whether it's today or next week or next year or in 100 years. I don't think I'll live that long, but whenever he comes, let's be anticipatory. Let's be excited to share our faith, and let's be excited to meet tomorrow at our open house in Springfield, 1 to 4 p.m. You're all invited. Come one, come all. It'll be a great time to meet staff and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, because the staff are faithful followers of him, and our board, there'll be a lot of people for you to visit. And if you don't know Jesus, we'll call on God, and he'll, through his word, through maybe a Christian he brings along your path, he'll reveal himself. He's holy, he's good, he desires to love on you. But if you need a tangible expression of that, come to our open house tomorrow. There'll be lots of hugs and a delightful time of sharing the goodness of God. And that's happening at our 600 West Mason Street location in Springfield. And if you need directions or more information, just call the station, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And we'll have a prize waiting for you. There'll be food, fun, festivities, and a great time to gather in the Lord's name. So that's tomorrow at our open house. And then be mindful, a week from tomorrow, we're canceling the open house at Lincoln Square, and I can't wait to tell you why in the coming days. All right, well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.